Katya S. says, I've been investigating HSAs and found that you must have a high deductible health plan, or HDHP, with maximum out-of-pocket expenses of $7,050 to qualify. For the past few years, my policy has had a deductible and out-of-pocket max of $8,150, making it ineligible for an HSA. I never reach my deductible because I don't visit doctors much. But if I switch to an HDHP that's HSA approved, my premium would go up over $800 a year. How can I know if paying more for a health plan that qualifies for an HSA would be worthwhile? Katya, thank you so much for the great question. I'm sure many people in the Money Girl audience are wondering the exact same thing. And in this episode, I'm going to give you an answer. Plus, I'll review how to know if your health plan qualifies for an HSA and strategies to maximize its benefits. Hey, friends, and thanks for joining me this week. My name is Laura Adams, and I'm a personal finance expert who's been hosting the Money Girl podcast since 2008. And I'm also the author of several books, including my most recent title, which was an Amazon number one new release, called Money Smart Solopreneur, a personal finance system for freelancers, entrepreneurs, and side hustlers. Check it out if you're building a business or you just want to earn more income. Grab a copy of the paperback, ebook, or audiobook anywhere books are sold today. And if you want to connect with me on social media, I would love it. I'm on Twitter at Laura Adams, LauraAdams, or Instagram at Laura D. Adams. And lauradadams.com is my personal site where you can use my contact page and learn more about my work, books, and money courses. My mission here is pretty simple. It's to help you get the knowledge and motivation to prioritize your finances, build lots of wealth, and have more security and less stress. If you're enjoying Money Girl, please take a moment to let us know. And you could do that in a couple different ways. One is by submitting a rating and review of the show in your podcast app. That would mean so much to us. All right, let's start by reviewing what an HSA is. HSAs were created in 2003 to help Americans manage and reduce rising healthcare costs. It's one of my favorite tax-advantaged accounts because not only does it allow you to save for medical expenses, but you get to eliminate taxes and also invest your balance for accelerated growth. I call HSAs a triple threat because they provide three significant tax advantages. The first one is that your HSA contributions are never taxed. So an HSA gets funded with pre-tax dollars. And that's the case whether you or even somebody else, like an employer, makes contributions on your behalf. The money you put in the account is tax deductible. That reduces your taxable income, even if you don't itemize your deductions on your tax return. You can make HSA contributions at any time, even up to April 15 for the previous tax year, but you're never required to make any contribution. So, you know, you can open the account, fund it, and never put in another dime. But you can contribute even if you're retired, you're unemployed, or you've got an annual income less than your contributions. However, once you enroll in Medicare, or you can be claimed as someone else's tax dependent, you can no longer make HSA contributions. And I'll talk more about how to qualify for an HSA. But that's the first big benefit. Your contributions, the money you put in, does not get taxed. All right, the second way you are getting a tax benefit from an HSA is that the earnings are never taxed. Similar to a bank savings account, most HSAs pay interest. However, you typically can also choose from a menu of investment options, similar to a retirement account. You can transfer all or even just a portion of your HSA to various mutual funds or exchange-traded funds to grow your balance. But unlike a taxable bank account or brokerage account, your interest and the investment growth in an HSA is entirely tax-free. All right, the third tax benefit you get from an HSA is that your withdrawals are never taxed. So when you take money out of an HSA to pay for qualified healthcare expenses, which I'll cover more about in this show, there are no taxes. Your original contributions and the earnings in the account are entirely tax-free as long as you're spending that money on qualified expenses. So that's even better than a traditional retirement account, which defers your taxes, but you do get taxed when you make withdrawals. So the triple tax advantage of an HSA means your contributions, your earnings, and withdrawals for qualified healthcare expenses are tax-free. That is pretty sweet. So while these HSA benefits are amazing, unfortunately, not everyone can cash in. You can only have an HSA when you also have a qualifying high-deductible health plan. And as the name indicates, a high-deductible health plan has a relatively high annual deductible. So comparing it to other plans on the market, you're going to have to pay more out of pocket, but they charge lower monthly premiums because your coverage doesn't begin until you've paid more out of your own pocket. However, high deductible health plans do cover specific preventive care at no charge. That includes your annual physicals, prenatal and well child care, immunizations, and screenings, regardless of the deductible. So that means some basic medical costs get automatically covered even if you have not met that high annual deductible. So having a high deductible plan doesn't necessarily mean that you've got to skip important checkups if your budget is tight. Knowing if your high deductible health plan is HSA qualified gets a little tricky because not all health plans with high deductibles are eligible. They've got to meet the following criteria. So they must have an annual deductible that's higher than $1,400 for individual health plans and $2,800 for families, and that's for 2022. In 2023, there will be an increase. It'll go up to $1,500 for individuals and $3,000 for families. So you do have to have an annual deductible that's at least that much. Now, to qualify, the plan also has to have an annual out-of-pocket maximum lower than $7,050 for individual plans and $14,100 for families. And for 2023, that's also going to increase to $7,500 for individual plans and $15,000 for families. Plus, they cannot offer insurance coverage until the deductible is met, except for that preventative care that I mentioned. So again, that could be a physical exam, cancer screenings, or immunizations. Those are some pretty typical preventive care that would be covered before your deductible is met. In other words, the definition of a high deductible health plan for HSA purposes extends beyond just the deductible. And as Katya mentioned, even health plans with higher out-of-pocket costs, such as hers, may not be HSA eligible. Unfortunately, if your health insurance has a high deductible, that doesn't automatically mean you qualify for an HSA. So only assume a health plan qualifies you for an HSA if it says so, you know, if it's labeled as HSA eligible. And if you're unsure, contact the insurance company and ask. But if you don't get an answer or for some reason, you know, they're not sure, you want to assume that it is not HSA qualified. To know if paying more for an HSA qualified health plan is worth it, Katya, you've got to fully understand the benefits and downsides. So let's cover the downsides first. The primary downside of an HSA is that spending it on non-qualified expenses, like maybe your rent or a vacation, that's against the rules. You would be subject to paying income tax plus a hefty 20% penalty on those amounts that you take out of the account. So you never want to put money into an HSA that you might need for everyday expenses. Also note that having a high deductible health plan, it's not for everybody. You need to be sure that you could afford that high deductible. Additionally, if you've got a chronic illness, Maybe you take expensive prescription medications or you have kids. Those are all situations where you could end up paying more for healthcare than you would with another type of health plan that comes with a lower deductible. However, if you're relatively healthy and you don't have many medical expenses, you'll probably come out ahead by having a high deductible health plan in combination with an HSA. Note that the purpose of having health insurance, it's not to cover every possible medical expense, but it's there to protect your finances against a devastating accident or an expensive medical condition. Now, a common question that comes up is, well, what happens to my HSA if I become uninsured or if I switch to a non-qualified plan? The good news is that you can still spend your balance on qualified expenses tax-free. However, you won't be able to make new contributions if an HSA-qualified health plan does not cover you. So again, you know, you can still spend that HSA. It's still your money. You just can't add to it if you don't have a qualifying plan. And if you still have funds in an HSA after you turn 65, it turns into something that's quite similar to a retirement account. You can use it for non-medical expenses without that steep 20% penalty. However, you do have to pay income tax on those withdrawals. So that's a great reason to max out an HSA every year, even if you don't expect many medical expenses. It's kind of like having an additional retirement account. The benefits you get from an HSA will determine whether having a high deductible health plan and paying a higher premium for one, like in Katya's case, is going to be worthwhile. Your funds can be spent on many expenses that are not covered by your health plan, including your deductible, co-pays, co-insurance, dental bills, vision expenses, and hearing care, just to name a few. And I'll give you more examples of qualified expenses in a moment. While there's no requirement for HSA participants to make contributions, annual caps do exist. For 2022, you can contribute up to $3,650 if you've got insurance for just yourself, or twice that amount, $7,300 if you've got family plan, the insurance that covers you and maybe a spouse and kids. For 2023, those limits will increase to $3,850 and $7,750. Plus, if you're over age 55, you can contribute an additional $1,000 to either situation, either type of plan you may have. Sometimes employers offer HSA matching when you enroll in a high deductible health plan at work. If so, those company contributions do get included in the annual limit that I just covered. So note that you need to make sure that between you and your employer, you're not exceeding the annual limit. But note that no matter if you get an HSA qualified plan on your own or you get it through a group plan at work, you're still eligible for an HSA. And if you get one at work, but you leave your job, you can take it with you. Even if you change health plans or you retire, that plan is portable. It can always go with you. Another way to get the most from an HSA is by using it for your family's medical expenses. You can spend it on qualified, out-of-pocket healthcare costs for you, a spouse, or for your dependents. And a great HSA feature is that there's no spending deadline. So if you don't have any medical expenses or you just don't want to use HSA funds to pay for them, your balance rolls over from year to year with, no type of no negative financial consequence. The bottom line is that the more you contribute, the more potential benefits you'll get from an HSA. But it's not going to improve your finances if you don't make any contributions. You're not using the HSA. Hey there, I want to tell you about one of my favorite podcasts, Freakonomics Radio. Every week, host and best-selling author Stephen Dubner dives into the hidden side of business, economics, and so much more. He interviews CEOs, historians, and Nobel laureates to explore all kinds of topics, like why the best employees can make the worst bosses, and how whales went from being economic engines to environmental icons. If you're a curious person looking to better understand the world around you, You'll find everything you're looking for on Freakonomics Radio. Listen wherever you get your podcasts. Once you've opened an HSA and you've got a balance, let's talk about how you can spend it. Allowable expenses include a wide range of healthcare costs that you might incur until you meet your annual deductible, or expenses that are not covered by your health plan in the first place. The IRS says that for an expense to be HSA qualified, it must pay for healthcare services, equipment, or medications that are unreimbursed. So again, if you're, getting reimbursement from a health insurance company for an expense, you can't also use your HSA for that expense. That would be double dipping. Also, you can't itemize your medical expenses on Schedule A if you also pay for them using an HSA. That would also be double dipping. So again, you do have to make sure that those expenses are not reimbursed and that you're not also claiming them as a medical tax deduction on your tax return. There are hundreds of potential tax-free expenses, and you can see the full list in IRS Publication 502 called Medical and Dental Expenses. And I'll put a link to that in the transcript for the show, but I'm going to cover 15 expenses here that, might surprise you or maybe just, are some that you could take advantage of. The first is dental care. If you don't have dental insurance or you've got out-of-pocket cost for oral care, and that could include routine cleanings, fluoride treatments, x-rays, fillings, extractions, dentures, and braces, you can use HSA funds for them. However, cosmetic expenses like having your teeth whitened are not qualified. The second qualified expense is vision care. So any cost to correct your vision, such as LASIK surgery or even the removal of cataracts, can be paid with HSA funds. The third are prescription glasses. You can use an HSA for getting an annual eye exam and new prescription glasses, sunglasses, and contact lenses. The fourth is a guide dog or other service animals. If your sight or hearing is impaired or you've got physical disabilities, you can use HSA funds for a service animal, and that includes the costs of buying, training, and maintaining a guide dog or other animal to assist you. The fifth is chiropractic care. All chiropractic care is HSA qualified, even if your insurance plan doesn't cover it. So don't hesitate to seek it as an alternative for pain relief before you go for medication or surgery. Number six is acupuncture. Even if your health insurance doesn't cover acupuncture, you can use your HSA to pay for it tax-free. Number seven, fertility enhancement. You can also use an HSA to pay for treatment to have children, such as in vitro fertilization. And once you're a parent, you can also spend it on breast pumps and supplies that assist lactation. Number eight is birth control. You can also use an HSA to pay for birth control, sterilization, or legal abortion. Number nine, drug and alcohol addiction treatment. Any amount you pay for yourself or a family member on inpatient treatment at a drug rehabilitation center, including meals and lodging, is HSA qualified. You can also pay for transportation to and from Alcoholics Anonymous meetings in your community. Number 10, psychology or psychiatric care. Cost to support yourself or a family member through treating a mental condition or illness are HSA qualified. You can use HSA funds to pay for a patient's treatment at a health institute if prescribed by a physician to alleviate a physical or mental disability or illness. Number 11, home improvements. Any special equipment or improvements installed in a home to care for you or a family member can be paid for with an HSA if their purpose is medical care. So these might include things like constructing an entrance ramp, widening doorways, installing lifts, or lowering cabinets and sinks. Another expense that's HSA qualified is removing lead-based paint in a home you own or rent. Number 12. Transportation and travel. Cost to get to and from any medical care, whether you're taking a bus, train, plane, taxi, ambulance, can be paid with HSA money. This rule includes regular visits to see an ill family member if visits get recommended as part of treatment. And you can include lodging, but not meals, when you travel to another city for medical purposes. If you use your vehicle to get to medical services, you can also include your out-of-pocket costs like gas, oil, tolls, and parking fees as HSA qualified. However, you can't cover general vehicle maintenance or your insurance costs. Number 13, over-the-counter medicines. The IRS now allows you to pay for over-the-counter pharmacy items, whether prescribed by a doctor or not. So that opens up a wide variety of expenses, such as cold and flu medicine, pain relievers, sleep aids, eye drops, sunscreen, menstrual care products, and remedies for indigestion, acne, and motion sickness, just to name a few. Number 14, certain health insurance. You typically cannot use HSA funds to pay health insurance premiums. However, there are some exceptions. One is to pay COBRA coverage if it is offered by a previous employer. You can also use HSA funds to pay health premiums if you receive unemployment compensation under federal or state law. And you can pay for Medicare and other coverage if you're over age 65. And number 15, long-term care insurance. You can also pay long-term care, known as LTC, insurance premiums using HSA funds. Unlike regular health insurance, long-term care coverage pays a set amount of expenses for daily living, such as your personal or custodial care in your home, a community organization, or other facilities. So depending on your average tax rate, using an HSA to pay for these and many other allowable expenses means getting, maybe a 20 to 30% discount. Over your lifetime, that can add up to a massive savings. In addition to using HSA funds to buy qualified healthcare goods and services tax-free, there are other strategies you might consider. One is using it solely as an investment account instead of for your medical expenses. Since HSA rules do not require you to use it or reimburse yourself for qualified medical expenses, you can opt not to make any account withdrawals. You can keep your balance invested if you've got the cash to pay for those medical expenses out of pocket. The idea is that the more money you contribute and keep in the account, the more time it has to grow tax-free. Your HSA return will depend on, how much you put in the account and the investments you choose, but it could be 7% or even higher. If you're relatively young, maxing out an HSA and allowing it to grow for decades could end up being more lucrative than spending it tax-free on healthcare expenses. Another option is to allow your HSA to grow, but to use it to pay high or unexpected healthcare expenses as you need to. However, if you change your mind and you decide you want to reimburse yourself for all qualified expenses later on, that's allowed, and it's known as shoeboxing your HSA. Shoeboxing means you keep good records to verify all your qualified healthcare expenses, and you create an IOU to yourself. You can redeem it at any time you like by making withdrawals to reimburse yourself from your HSA. You typically receive a debit card with your HSA account, but you can also move money by initiating a bank transfer or even doing an online bill payment to move money into your own personal bank account as needed. Be sure you know how those reimbursed expenses were paid originally and that you didn't take them as itemized medical deductions on your taxes. As I previously mentioned, you can't do both. Also note that you can't use HSA funds to pay expenses that occurred before you opened the account. So, if you're thinking about having an HSA, getting it opened sooner rather than later is best because you have to have it opened in order for those expenses to be qualified that you incur after the date you open the account. So getting back to Katya's question about whether it's better to choose a more expensive HSA qualified health plan, the answer is it depends. If you would max out an HSA every year and invest your balance, it's probably worthwhile. However, if you're not already maxing out a retirement account, I would encourage Katya to do that first. Using an IRA or a workplace retirement plan like a 401k or a 403b should be your top investing priority. While HSAs are loaded with tax benefits, they offer less flexibility than a retirement plan. Also, they're not known for providing best-in-class investments with the lowest fees. They can also come with additional account and investing costs, which may erode their net investment returns over time. But if you're maxing out a retirement account, you're probably in an excellent position to max out an HSA. If all or most of your HSA balance gets invested in diversified funds, many experts would argue that it's better not to spend it and just let it grow. Therefore, if you can afford not to tap your HSA, that likely gives you maximum tax savings, especially over a long period. However, if your HSA funds are not invested and they're not earning any interest or just a little bit of interest, you'll probably come out ahead by spending them. So on the one hand, spending your HSA gives you guaranteed tax savings, which could be more than 30% depending on your income and your average tax rate. Finding an investment to beat that would be challenging. But on the other hand, letting your HSA stay invested at a good return for decades could be way more valuable. As I mentioned, it depends on your return and how long the funds have to grow. If you qualify for an HSA, they're available at many banks, credit unions, brokerages, and specialty institutions. And I'll put a few links to my favorites in the transcript for the show. The best accounts out there are very convenient to use, and they offer paper checks, debit cards, and online banking. So shop around to find an HSA that gives you diversified investment options, low fees, and a convenient online experience. Katya, I hope that helps. If you're like Katya and you've also got a money question or a topic suggestion, I'd love to hear it. It's really easy. All you have to do is visit lauradadams.com and send me an email using my contact page. Or you can leave a voice message calling 302-364-0308. When you're at lauradadams.com, you can also learn more about my work, books, and money courses. And one more thing before we go, if you haven't joined my free private Facebook group called Dominate Your Dollars, I'd love to have you. It's a fantastic group of people. All you have to do is search Dominate Your Dollars on Facebook. That's all for now. I'll talk to you next week. Until then, here's to living a richer life. Money Girl is a quick and dirty tips podcast. It's audio engineered by Steve Rickyberg with editing by Adam Cecil. Our podcast and advertising operations specialist is Morgan Christensen. Our digital operations specialist is Holly Hutchins. Our marketing and publicity assistant is Davina Tomlin. And our intern is Cameron Lacey.